All righty, I think we're on. Great, welcome. I want to welcome our online guests with us this morning. It's great to have you with us here at Christian Life Community Church. If you'd care to visit us, we would love to have you on Sunday mornings. Our gatherings start at 10 o'clock. And for more information, feel free to check out our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. But welcome, it's great to have you with us today. Hey, I just want to take a quick moment and talk about our pastoral team here, because I love the pastors that are on staff here. I mean, of course, it all starts with our senior pastor, Pastor Steve, and I could go on and on and on about what I admire about him, what I respect about him, that I love his leadership, but I won't, he doesn't like me to do that. We both get kind of choked up when we do that, but we have, of course, Pastor Adam. And his wife Becky have been leading our youth for a number of years, and just so appreciate their heart for the kids, for the students, and the job that they do of really trying to connect with young people and help them through the struggles and the challenges that they have through those teen years, which we all remember can be pretty challenging. And I just think they do a dynamite job. So thank you. I know Pastor Adam's not here. He's probably on lockdown for the big game today for the Niners, huh? But I just had lunch with him this past week, and gosh, they're just such a great couple, and they're waiting, they're kind of in a holding pattern for these five Ukrainian children that they want to adopt as soon as possible. And I know that's got to be a challenge, but just know that we're praying with you, we're standing with you, and we're anxiously awaiting that day. Probably not as much as you, because how can you match that mama's heart, you know? But we're with you guys and just really appreciate you. And of course, we have Pastor Van and Pastor Steph, a power couple in my mind, in my eyes. And they do so much around here, and just really appreciate both of them. And so if we could just give a hand to our pastoral staff, I think they do a dynamite job. And they are a blessing to this body, a blessing to this house for sure. So, amen. Well, we're going to be talking actually about a sermon that Pastor Steve shared on January 1st, just a few weeks ago. And if you'll recall, and again, this is one of the things I love about him, he is pressing in to the Lord and wanting to hear, Lord, what's your word for this house for 2023. And remember, there were 4 points that he felt the Lord laid on his heart for 2023. Who remembers one of those 4 points? Anyone? There were 4 key points that he really felt the Lord was stirring in him for this house. There was, remember, new life, new things, new understanding, and new rivers of living water. I rephrased that one just a little bit. But new streams of the Holy Spirit being poured out on us. Those are pretty good points, wouldn't you say? Yeah, I'm in on those, right? Well, we're going to hone in and focus on one today, new understanding. New understanding. And if you'll recall, Pastor Steve was really encouraging us, look, don't just let this be a sermon that you hear and in the moment you say, oh, that was a good message, that was a good word, and then walk out the doors and it has no impact in your life. Remember, he was encouraging us to write down the points and read these points on a regular basis and pray into these points, right? And believe that God is going to manifest these points in our lives, in this house. Amen? And so this is a step in doing that. We're going to be intentional to respond to the word of the Lord, right? To respond to the direction that he's leading us in. Like, if I told my wife I love you on the day that we got married and then never talked to her after that, I'm an idiot for one thing, but am I pursuing her? Am I trying to build a relationship with her? Am I trying, you know? So let's be intentional today and go after this as we look at new understanding. And I love this concept, this idea, because it can be so exciting when we get a hold of some new insight, or Lord gives us a revelation of something. We have new understanding. That's exciting to me. We've all seen cartoons before where, like, the light bulb is above the character's head. Like, they just got, oh, I get it now, right? And that's how it can be when we get new understanding. Who saw the movie years ago? It's a classic, Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. Remember? That's a great movie. And for those of you who maybe didn't see it, that's where the phrase, if you build it, they will come. Right, that came from that movie. So Kevin Costner, he's this farmer in the Midwest, and he hears this voice that says, if you build it, they will come. And long story short, he takes his cornfield and he builds a baseball stadium in the cornfield, a baseball field in the cornfield. And you know, it obviously affects the amount of money that he could make from the crops, because he's not growing corn. He's got a baseball field in the middle of Iowa. Right, I mean, it's got bleachers and the whole nine yards, lights, you know, the whole thing. And without going into all the details, they start to fall into financial ruin, he and his wife. Well, they don't have, you know, income coming in because they're not growing corn. They have a baseball field in their cornfield. And so his brother-in-law throughout the whole movie is just railing on him. Like, what are you doing, Ray? You're going to, you know, go bankrupt, you're going to lose everything, and just railing on, like, this doesn't make sense, this doesn't, and every day, Ray and his wife and their little girl would go out to this field, and they would watch the baseball players that were playing, and it was people like Shoeless Joe Jackson, who was banned from baseball when it was found that he cheated during the World Series, he took a bribe, and so it was all these kind of misfits that came and played, and they would go out and watch the players play every day, but nobody else could see him. So to everybody else, to his brother-in-law, what he saw was Ray and his sister, and their little girl watching an empty baseball field. What they could see was Shoeless Joe Jackson and all these players playing on the field, but the brother-in-law couldn't see it. And he was just disgusted with this. Like, you're going to take my sister and yourself down, and it's going to end in a bad way. Well, it kind of comes to a head, and we're going to watch a clip here real soon, where the brother-in-law is again railing on Ray, Kevin Costner. And there's a little altercation, and the little girl falls off the bleachers. And so then there's this Doc Graham, this doctor who, in his younger days, was a minor league baseball player. Remember that, Tanya? And he got called up to the majors, like the last day of the season, and he actually got into one game, but he never got to bat in a game. Remember this? And so let's just watch the clip, and you'll see this revelation that the brother-in-law gets in the midst of this happening, if we can.
It's all right. I best be getting out of home.
Before Alicia begins to think that I gotta do it for her.
Hey, Doc.
Good work, Doc.
How's it going, Doc?
I miss you, Doc. Been one for me one day, eh, boys?
Hey, Doc. When did these ball players get here?
Hey, Rookie!
You were good.
That's such a cool scene. But did you see the brother-in-law? In the midst of it, he said, hey, when did those ball players get here? He had new understanding. He had some insight. He had a revelation. That's exciting to me when that happens to me and when I see that happening with others. And that's what the Lord wants to give us in 2023, new understanding. So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. And I feel like this morning is not going to be so much a teaching three-part sermon as much as it is just kind of pointing some things out that we kind of already know, but just kind of directing our attention to a few places. And then we're going to have some time at the end where we're actually going to go before the Lord. And I believe there's going to be some personal ministry as well. And I believe that He's going to give new understanding today. Amen. So here we are in 2 Kings chapter 6. And you'll remember the story of Elisha and how he was basically being chased by this king, and the Lord would give him insight as to where this enemy was going to be to try to capture him. And Elisha would evade the king's army. I mean, this happened time and again. And so finally, the enemy sends this massive army to this place where he knows where Elisha is. And Elisha's there with his servant. The servant sees this great army outside, ready to get them. And he's like, oh no. Or words to that effect. And he's kind of scared at this moment. And Elisha says something that is amazing in the midst of this. He says, there's more for us than those against us. And the assistant at this point is like the brother-in-law in the clip. He doesn't see it yet. And he's like, are you kidding me? What are you talking about? You know? What do you mean there's more for us than against us? And it says that Elisha prayed for him. Oh, where's my spot here? Okay, verse 16. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Okay, verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And the assistant had a new understanding about the situation that they were in. And he wasn't scared any longer, because he knew that what Elisha told him was true. He heard it first, couldn't see it. Then the Lord allowed him to see it, and he had new understanding about it. Oh, you're right, Elisha. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Oh, look what I see. There are more with us than with them. And the assistant of Elisha had new understanding, new insight that day. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke 24. Luke 24. Just a couple of familiar passages. Again, oh wait. Just directing our attention. You know, when the kids were little, we used to have these Easter egg hunts with my brother-in-law and his family. And my brother-in-law and I would hide the eggs the night before. And especially when the kids were little, and they really were kind of clueless, we would say, hey, come over here, look over here. You might find something over here, you know? And I feel like that's all I'm doing. Not that we're kids on an Easter egg hunt, but I just feel like I'm just saying, hey, let's look over here and see what the Lord has for us this morning. So in Luke 24, verse 13, after Jesus was crucified and resurrected from the dead, it says, now behold, two of them, talking about two of his disciples, were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. Remember this passage? Verse 15. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Can you picture this in your mind? These two disciples, these two followers of Jesus, they've just been through this traumatic episode with Jesus being crucified and dying. And they've been through all the emotions that go along with that. And all the, I'm sure, turmoil in their spirit as well. And now they're walking 7 miles to this little town called Emmaus. And this guy comes alongside them. And it's Jesus, but they can't see that it's Jesus. Let's read on. And Jesus said to them, what kind of conversation is that? Is this that you have with one another? As you walk and are sad. Verse 18, then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? This was a curious guy, wasn't it? He's asking all kinds of questions. Sometimes Jesus asks us questions as well. And sometimes it's to help us to have new understanding and new insight and new revelation from him. Amen. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. They had some things in mind that Jesus was going to accomplish. And things didn't go the way that they thought they were going to go. Is there anyone here this morning that's happened to you? You had in mind how things were going to happen, how it should go, how maybe you even felt you heard from God how it was going to go. And it didn't go that way. That's exactly how these guys are feeling right now, right? As they're walking with Jesus, but they don't recognize that it's Jesus. Is that us at times? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe as we ask Jesus to give us new understanding, he will come even in the midst of brokenness, even in the midst of disappointment, even in the midst of unrealized dreams. I was hoping for this, and I thought I had the word of the Lord. And it looks like anything but that now. But Jesus can come and give us new understanding, which totally shifts our perspective of the situation. The brother-in-law, when he saw the ball players, totally shifted his thinking of what his brother-in-law had done. Before it was like, you're an idiot. After he saw the ball players, it was like, wow, this is amazing. That's Shoeless Joe Jackson. It totally changed his perspective, and that's what can happen to us when we get new understanding from Jesus. Amen? We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. Let's skip down to verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he, Jesus, indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as Jesus sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Just something as simple as taking the bread and blessing it and breaking it suddenly opened their eyes. Now they understood who this was. This was Jesus, who walked all these miles with us. It says, verse 32, then they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" When Jesus opens the scriptures to us, we will have new understanding. Amen? Amen. New understanding, which may be contrary to something else that we've been taught maybe our whole lives. Maybe. Perhaps. And if it comes down to what man's taught me about the scriptures and what Jesus has shown me in the scriptures, I'm encouraging us that we would do well to go with what Jesus has taught us. Amen? To the new understanding that he's given us. Amen? Sometimes we hear those who can say they're teaching the Word of God, but are they really teaching traditions of men? And I believe as we ask Jesus to give us new understanding, he'll speak to us and we'll be able to delineate between the two. Amen? New understanding. These two disciples had new understanding that day. And then they went back to Jerusalem and they told the other disciples what had happened. But I love it what they said. Did not our heart burn within us? We knew this, the stuff that this guy was saying, it was stirring something in me. And that's how it is when Jesus speaks to us, right? Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. Is this making sense so far? I'm believing that this is going to stir something in us. And that as we, in just a little bit, are intentional about stepping into this word, that we're going to receive some new understanding from him. Amen? That can radically change our perspective about something. So here we are in Exodus chapter 3, and this is the passage where Moses encounters the burning bush. And I just want to skip to okay, so God is commissioning Moses to go before Pharaoh. Okay, so verse 10 of chapter 3. "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, which cracks me up all the time, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Have you ever argued with God? He asks you to do something, and you have umpteen reasons why you can't, or you shouldn't, or it won't work. My friend Richie Lewis, the Lord spoke to him a couple years ago and said, "I want you to share a simple gospel message on your Facebook page." And he's like, "Really? How is anyone going to be led to the Lord with a gospel presentation on Facebook?" And he kind of just let it go by the wayside. A week later, the Lord came back to him, more firm than the first time, and said, "I want you to share a simple gospel message on Facebook. And so out of sheer obedience, he did it. Just be like, okay, I checked that off my list, Lord. I did what you asked me to do. Well, here we are a couple years later, and I forget the exact number. It's somewhere in the area of 2,000 people. Come on. 2,000 people have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because someone was willing to be obedient to do something that they thought would be fruitless, was just silly, was not going anywhere fast. And 2,000 people got saved. I love that. I love that. Sometimes he asks us to do something and we don't really understand it. But when we're obedient, we see amazing things that he can do through our sheer obedience. Amen? So here's Moses. But who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Verse 12. Then he said, I will certainly be with you. This is the Lord to Moses. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, not if you bring the people out of Egypt. When you bring the people out of Egypt, the Lord says, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now, throughout this interaction, you know, Moses is given all these excuses and all these reasons why the plan of God isn't going to work, which sounds ridiculous to say, doesn't it? Like, no, God, your plan's not going to work because of this, this, and this. But do we, come on, if we're honest, do we do the same thing? I have, sure. You want me to do what? But as we continue to dialogue with him, as we continue to interact with him, he will, I believe, give us understanding. And even if we don't get that understanding, if we just do it out of sheer obedience to him, I believe he'll bless what he's asked us to do. Amen? Yeah. Turn over to 1 Kings 19. This will be the last one that we look at. 1 Kings 19. How's our youngest visitor doing today? Doing pretty good? Justina here is here with her new baby. And I think he's officially the youngest visitor we have in church today. Just a few weeks old. What's his name again, Justina?
Oakley.
Oakley, that's right. Oakley. He's a cutie. He's got his necktie on today, and oh man, he's all decked out. If you haven't had a chance to check him out, you should really see him after service. He's a cutie. He's a cutie. So, 1 Kings 19, and I think somebody spoke on Elijah recently, and it might have been you, Pastor Steve, and mentioned this passage where Elijah has this great victory, remember? And he kills the 450 prophets of Baal, remember? And this amazing victory happens, right? And out of that, Jezebel speaks this word against him that she's going to have him killed. And Elijah just has a meltdown. He has a breakdown. And he is running. Run, Forrest, run. He's running. And he ends up in this cave. And he has this interaction with the Lord. In 1 Kings 19... wait, I lost my spot.
Nine.
Thank you. And he went into a cave. Okay, this is Elijah. And spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Good question, isn't it? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? No, really, I want to know. What are you doing here? Has the Lord ever asked you that question? What are you doing here? Maybe not in a geographical place, But what are you doing here? You're all stressed out. You got anxiety off the charts. Now, I'm not trying to downplay the emotions that we experience, right? I mean, you go through a traumatic event, it hits you, right? But when we start to listen to the voice of fear rather than the voice of God, we can go downhill pretty quick. Amen? So the Lord asked him, "What are you doing here?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken," and he has like this pat answer that he gives back. Not a pat answer. He's being honest with the Lord. "This is what I feel like right now. This is what I feel like as a result of what I've experienced. This is where I am right now." And what does the Lord say? Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And there's this amazing thing that happens. There's this great and strong wind, tore into the mountains, broke the rocks in pieces, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then there's this earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. There's a fire. The Lord's not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. The still, small voice is what gives us understanding many times. Not the big, dramatic whatever. Not saying that the Lord can't speak to us in the midst of that, but very often, it's the still, small voice. And that's how we get understanding. And it's that still, small voice that shifts our perspective on a situation, that shifts our perspective about a person. You know? Somebody that did something to us and left a bad taste in our mouth. That still small voice speaks to us and says, "Do you know why that person did that? It's because they were hurt badly. And now we suddenly have compassion for the person." But it comes in the still small voice very often. Amen? Well, Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to spend some time asking, seeking, and knocking. And I believe that the Lord is going to come and give us new understanding. Amen? Have you ever had a conversation with someone and in the midst of it, you suddenly have a new understanding? That's what we're going to do right now. So what we're going to do real quick is pass out. I have a handout. Stan, could you help me? Could you? And Pastor Steve, could you? Just have a little handout. And at the top are the 4 points to Pastor Steve's message from a few weeks ago. And then I have a second heading underneath that says "Stepping into New Understanding." And there's excuse me, about a half a dozen verses there. About a half a dozen verses there just to use to kind of prime the pump, so to speak. And so what we're going to do is, Stace, could you do me a favor and pull up a worship video? I should have given you a heads up ahead of time. Whichever one you want. Thank you, Stan. Something kind of slower and worshipful. And we're going to put a worship song on here in just a few moments. And we're going to wait on the Lord. And we're going to ask, we're going to seek, and we're going to knock for new understanding. Right? After we've done that for a bit, I believe we're going to have some ministry time as well. Would you like to kind of share how you see that going, Pastor Steve?
So after we spend a little time with the Lord and in His presence, then I just want to invite those of you that want personal ministry to come up front. And our prayer team, so Mike and Marty and Becky and Pastor Kurt and I, Pastor Stefan Van are with the kids today. We're going to come up and lay hands on you and pray with you. And leadership, I just want to encourage you. I think we're going to hear some personal words as well when we're praying over people. So have your ears too. So we'll do that after we do what Pastor Kurt wants us to do. We'll just move right into personal ministry. Just keep some music playing, something like yours. And then we'll pray over you individually.
Amen. Sounds good. So you're just released to get wherever you need to be to meet with the Lord. If that's coming up front, you can even do that now. If it's walking in the back, if it's kneeling at your seat, just get a posture where you can meet with the Lord. And let's press in and ask for new understanding. Amen. So, Stacy, whenever you have that song, you can go ahead and play it. And maybe we could just cut the lights in the front here. Yeah.
Are you hurting, broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Glory. God.